listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roshni, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace and peace to you this day from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us in grace and peace. Amen. We hear these exhortations from Jesus in our gospel today, actually, as grace and peace. That might be hard to believe. These are tough words that come from the gospel of Matthew, but this is grace and peace being offered to us. It takes a little bit of explaining, however. Remember, first of all, that the reading that I just shared from the center aisle is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. We're in the Sermon on the Mount all through this month of February in our gospel readings here at Shepherd of the Valley. That's the Revised Common Lectionary. So remember that we're in the middle, and also remember that in Mediterranean culture, things that come at the beginning and at the end are the most important. I'm not saying that this in the middle is not as important, but do you remember how the Sermon on the Mount began? With the blessed statements. A couple weeks ago, we did that famous bit that's usually the only one that's associated with the Sermon on the Mount, and that's because it's so powerful and so beautiful. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you. Remember that that comes first. It's important to read this text today in its context. We always want to read sections of Matthew as part of the whole picture of Matthew. Which isn't to say that we're not about to delve into what Jesus says to us today. It's also important to remember that Jesus is talking to his disciples here, as opposed to the huge, huge crowds, people that have never heard him before. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says Jesus is talking to his disciples, men and women who were following Jesus immediately, the 12 apostles and others who were with them, but not just to everybody. So this is insider talk. Jesus is talking their language. He's referring to the commandments, and they were good little Jewish boys and girls that knew their Torah. So when he's referring to, you've heard it said before, they know exactly what he's talking about. He says, you have heard it said before, and he lists, basically he's dealing with three of the 10 commandments today. You shall not murder, is how our text starts. You shall not commit adultery, and you shall not bear false witness. And Jesus is taking these ancient, ancient commandments to the next level. He's challenging his disciples to see that this Jesus-following life is not just about following the rules. He's challenging them. It's going to get difficult. Just like that image of you all moving out into the center aisle, suddenly what looked really easy just got a little more difficult. He's challenging them. This isn't just about following the letter of the law. It's about catching the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law is offered to us in love and in grace. This is insider talk. It's insider talk, not just that it's to an inside crowd, but it's also insider talk, and that it's about what's going on the inside. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is never tricked by the way that you're acting externally. Jesus is looking to the heart. Jesus wants to know what's going on in the inside, and Jesus speaks to this in the Sermon on the Mount. It's much more than just doing the bare minimum, just being a law-abiding Christian. To put it plainly, our gospel text today reminds us that God cares about our relationships to each other. It's not just about a relationship with God up here. God cares about how we're relating to each other. So read this difficult text with that in mind. To put it even more simply, God doesn't want us to hurt each other. So these passages about anger, these passages about marriage and divorce, these passages about slandering and lying and lusting, all of these are situations, as you know, where human beings can get really hurt. The Gospel of Matthew, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and those ancient words, Jesus even calls these ancient words in our gospel text today. So that's how old they are. Jesus calls them ancient words in Deuteronomy. These all invite us to choose life. so that we may truly live, not just skirt by under the radar of God's judgment. No, we are invited here today once again to truly live, to choose life, so that we might be in this blessed and broken world that God has given to us. There's a difference between just following the rules, because they're the rules, versus allowing the rules to lead and guide you to a much richer experience of life. That's what's at the spirit of the law, and that is good. The great minds of the Reformation, Martin Luther and friends, talked about the law as being like a curb, you know, on the side of the street. The law is a curb. That is to say, it doesn't stop us from going off the road. Even the simplest little car, a golf cart, can go over the curb. It doesn't stop us from going off the road, but it guides us, the curb does. It guides us smoothly and much more safely to our destination. And by safely, I mean people aren't getting hurt when we stay on the road. How we can hurt each other in our relationships, in our sibling rivalries, in our marriages, in our relationships at work, our collegial relationships, how we can hurt each other. And there is a certain hell of fire that we can experience when relationships are strained or even broken. That word hell in the Greek, explained before, is the word Gehenna, which everybody knew when Jesus used that word. Gehenna is the area south of Jerusalem. It kind of goes down. Jerusalem's up on a hill, and it kind of goes down, and that's where the people would drag out all the trash from the city, and they would burn the trash at Gehenna. It was a place. So when Jesus talked about the eternal fire of Gehenna, because they were always burning the trash, it was an eternal fire because the city kept producing more and more trash. So that was a fire that never went out. And the people knew, they could see that billowing smoke anywhere in the city. So Jesus was using a very powerful illustration as to what can happen. It's a fire that never goes out. There is a certain fire that never goes out. The hell of fire, as it says in our text today, that we experience when we are angry. That we experience when we are jealous. There's a certain hell of fire that we experience when there is lust in our hearts. And that's not just sexual lust, but we lust after all kinds of things. There's a certain hell of fire, a burden on our shoulders, a fire that doesn't go out when we're caught up in dishonesty. All these things infect our relationships. And God cares about this, sisters and brothers in Christ. God doesn't want this for us, this burden on our shoulders, this fire in our hearts. Christ offers us a different way again today as he goes more in depth into these commandments of old. He says, you've heard it said this way, but I say to you, and what a gift it is. You've heard it say before, don't murder. But I say to you, even when you're angry with a brother or sister, you are liable. That's enough for us to work on right there for this entire week, right? How's your anger management going? We struggle with this. Usually I fall asleep when I watch documentaries on PBS, which is why I like them. And it's not the only reason I like them. There's good stuff there, but often, you know, it's just this nice, slow Ken Burns style, puts me to sleep. But I was watching a couple weeks ago the documentary on the Amish. Maybe some of you saw it. And I was just riveted. I was just hooked. And it was talking all about how different the Amish culture is and everything. But the part that really grabbed me was when they reminded me of that terrible tragedy that happened several years ago, where a young man, came into a classroom and, you know, killed some of the Amish children. So sad now that happens so much. That's just as shocking as it always is. But what's really shocking, I found, was that after that tragedy, as they covered this, they talked about how the Amish people, particularly the parents of the children who had died in that terrible tragedy, came that same day. This is what gets me. It's that same day they went to the home of the parents of the young man who committed this terrible crime, who had, of course, taken his own life as well. They went to the house the very same day and offered that family their forgiveness. The same day. And of course, they attended the funeral for the young man, as well as, of course, the funeral for their own children. And as the interview in the documentary, they interview the community, the people just spoke so frankly about, well, this is what our community does. This is what Jesus tells us to do. We could never do it by ourselves, but we have each other, and this is what we do. This is how we live. It takes work. That work of forgiveness, anger, dealing with it is not easy. And so how rich a gift this community of faith is that God gives us, whether it's this one here at Shepherd of the Valley or whatever your community of faith is, what a gift it is. We need it. It is essential to this work of dealing with our anger. The community helps us, kind of like a curb. We need bridles. We need rules to keep us in check, because we can go out of control. We can go off the road. And not just externally either. It's, you know, we talk about anger management. You think about people that just blow up and throw things and break things externally. But of course, some of us also have issues with anger on the inside. We can control it on the outside, but Jesus is after what's going on inside. How we can also press down our anger, internalize it so that it festers and then it comes out in all kinds of other unhealthy ways. God cares about this. God cares about our relationships. God cares about us. God cares about you. Don't bury your anger. Community of the faith is a place where we confess and receive forgiveness. The same can be said about adultery and divorce. It's helpful to remember, first of all, that divorce and marriage, for that matter, in that period of time, was very different. So start with that. It's not excusing what we have to struggle with here about marriage and divorce that Jesus is talking about. But know that it was very, very different in that period of time. If a man divorced a woman in that period of time, we're talking about a human rights offense. He threw her out into the street, sometimes literally. So it was, you know, that it does happen sometimes today too, but there's more, you know, power on each side, and it's a different situation now. She was thrown out like a piece of trash, and all the law said, the law just said that that man just needed to obtain a certificate of divorce. He just needed to have the right paperwork, and he's okay to do that. He's not breaking any laws by doing that. So Jesus, thanks be to God, is challenging this. He's challenging this kind of treatment, which is to say, again, God cares about relationships and people being hurt. And this is what Jesus was speaking to. Thanks be to God. Jesus stands up and says something. And it's not just about the woman either, in this case, being hurt. When people, and especially women, are being cheapened or treated like objects, isn't this dehumanizing for both parties? You all know how we have rampant objectification and exploitation of human bodies and sex in our culture. Just watch the Super Bowl commercials and you can see that. But this isn't just a women's rights issue. This is something that we teach. It's not just something that we teach our little girls about, to respect their bodies. This is something that we have to teach our little boys about and men about too. For everyone is dehumanized in that activity of lust and adultery and sexual exploitation and rampant commercialization of sex and sexuality. You see, Jesus didn't create us to hurt others and be hurt. And when that's happening, Christ stands up and says something. God didn't create us to cheapen others and to be cheapened. Jesus stands up to say something. God cares about our relationships to each other. It's not just this. Sex is good and beautiful and a gift from God. Tell your friends and neighbors that you heard in church. God says sex is good and beautiful and it is a gift. And when people are being hurt, Jesus stands up and speaks. Jesus stands up and speaks when you are being hurt and when you are hurting others or yourself. See, just flying under the radar, following all the rules, isn't a full life. Doing the bare minimum to stay out of trouble with God or with the law. No, choose life, we hear in our text today. Choose life. Take risks in your Jesus following. May your yes be yes. This is right and good, and we should do this. And may your no be no. No, this is wrong. We should not let this go on. We're not mousy Christians peeping along. We're giants of compassion and justice, righteousness, and God's grace and peace for this world. We are so filled to the brim with Christ's light. Last week, I wasn't here, but I know you heard. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We are so filled to the brim with Christ's light that we can't help but live in ways that reflect God's love to this world. This is all response to God's grace stuff. Having encountered the reality of Christ's divine presence in the water and the word and the meal, we can't help but love our neighbors and even our enemies. That's a preview for next week. We can't help but keep our relationships in check and loving. We can't help but forgive those who have wronged us. We can't help but stand up for those who are cast aside or those who are going through hell at home or at work or in school. Because remember how this all starts. You are blessed. We are blessed. Remember that we are blessed. Yes, we're capable of some pretty awful things, but with Christ's light before us, Christ's body and blood inside of us, Christ's blessing upon us, Christ's spirit below us carrying us, there is no valley of the shadow of death through which we cannot pass to the other side, still held in God's gracious and loving embrace. This is the Holy Spirit life to which Christ has called us. This is the Holy Spirit life to which Christ invites us this day. And that rich and abundant life starts now.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Thank you.